Good morning, everybody. How are we all doing? Good, good. Hope you're all enjoying our change of weather. I was contemplating that just this past week. We finally finished, wrapped up football season. I remember 2 months ago, it was record-breaking hot. Now we're record-breaking cold. It's kind of a weird year in that way. Hope your body's been doing well. I think everybody in my family has gone through the loss of voice in the last 2 months, kind of wracking havoc amongst us. But just glad you're here today. If I've not met you yet, my name is Jody. I'm one of the pastors here at Highlands Community Church. And I just want to give a warm welcome back to the Lasters. Snuck in the back there. If you look back there, make sure you say hello to them when you leave today. And we're thankful for what God's been doing in their lives, bringing them back to the body. They've had a long, yes, give God a round of applause, please. I would just encourage you, I know you want to hug on them, just kind of treat them with care, all right? So, love on them. Make sure you say, tell them how much you love them and how much they're welcome back. If you have your Bibles today, I want you to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, we're going to be beginning in verse 33, going through verse 36 today. Just want to kind of forewarn you, as I was kind of looking at the text this week, I did a faux pas, as many pastors do. I kind of totally overlooked this text. Here's what happened. I was wrapping up. We know last week we talked about the sign of Jonah. And we talked about that. Well, actually, this text kind of goes with that text, but it would have made for like an hour-long sermon. And I know you guys get tired of me after 30 minutes, right? But this week, I was already preparing going on to the next thing. And so when I came back to the scripture this week, I was like, oh, that's there. We got to do something with that. What do we do with it? So how do we tack it on to this week? Or because it kind of sits in between. And so it's going to get its own sermon today because there's lots here after I started studying it. To preach on about. So that's your kind of my experiment this week. Here's what the Lord is showing us. He wants us to slow down, probably. This is not a meet. I'm going to say this is the Spirit of God, and we're going to look at this text this week and enjoy what he has for us. All right, so if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and begin reading here in verse 33 of chapter 11. And this is Jesus saying this. It says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays, gives you light." This is God's word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your perfect word, your infallible word. Father, may it ring true in our hearts today. Lord Jesus, as you are speaking about light and what it does, we know that we are in the dark until you illumine us. Dear Lord, what's going on in our lives, in our heart, in our souls, that belief is not possible until you intervene. So we ask for the Spirit this morning, that it would open our eyes, that you would, Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear the truth of this, that we may become alive through the preaching of your word. Lord, we pray and ask that for those things that, as Pastor Bill already prayed this morning, that weighed us down this morning, arguments, conflicts, depressing thoughts, worrying about tomorrow. Lord Jesus, you taught us not to worry about tomorrow. It has enough to be worried about itself. But let us now seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, so that all your things of the kingdom may be added unto us this morning. So come and be with us, please, in this time. For we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. So this morning we're talking about the concept of light, of course, and how it contrasts with darkness. A lot of different ways you can go about doing this sermon, but we're going to try to be true to the text in the context of what Jesus was saying it in. Two big clues here, though, things that we want to remember about light and dark, and you can agree with me on this one. I think whether you are a Christian this morning or not, here's the purposes of light and darkness, is that light reveals and darkness conceals. Light reveals, darkness conceals. Would you agree with me on that one? In that process, that's basically the nature of light and dark, and that's something that you see all through the Bible. Old Testament uses the metaphors of light and darkness and what it does. The New Testament's full of it, not just what Christ teaches, but what the Apostle John, the Apostle Paul teaches. They use those references and those metaphors all the time. As a matter of fact, some of you next month will spend money to go see a third installment in a trilogy that is one of 9 movies since starting back in the 70s. That their whole theme and premise is about light versus dark. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about already? Right? And because of that, you'll pay money that should not go to them because you know they're going to mess up the story. I'm against them, right? But in that, because how do you mess up a story of light versus darkness, right? Of fighting. The good's going to win. There shouldn't be any of this mixing and matching and gray Jedi stuff. No, that shouldn't be there. Light versus dark. That's how the Bible is. It should copy that white, right? So I'm just trying to say a lot of guys use those stories and those themes, but that comes from Scripture. That's always been the contrast where it starts from. Now, here's how darkness works, though. And Jesus does really good in explaining it today. I think you have to see it in the context. But this morning, just some things I've been contemplating recently. This morning, I was awoken, and on my alarm clock, the radio comes on, and it's on news radio. And there was a story. I mean, first thing in my head this morning was a story of a gentleman who's gone through a sexual surgery, is now claiming to be a woman. Now, in that, here's why I bring this up. It was a story about their courage and the things that they had to face and wanting to confront these things. And the person reporting on the story was remarkably struck by this person. And as I'm sitting there laying hearing this, I'm thinking, I wonder if anybody's shared with this person the statistics of people after they've gone through this surgery 10 years down the road. Because if you would look those up, the majority of those people that go through this type of gender mutilation are depressed and fearful of life and wish they had never done it. See, the nature of dark is that people love darkness, we're told in Scripture. It will not bring their sin to light lest they have to give up and surrender what they truly like. And we're told in Romans, God turned them over to this. That is the truth. And see, light reveals that fact, doesn't it? People don't want to know why they're wrong, and they don't want to surrender it. And it takes God's Spirit to overpower the heart of man. This is the truth. And this is what we're seeing today as we go into the Scripture, though Jesus gives us hope for our time and day, gives you hope, gives me hope, as long as we're honest with ourselves and how the light should be working in our lives and we're aware of what's going on in our hearts. So there's some clues here in the text. So in your notes this morning, here's where we're going to start. We're going to start with the very first verse in verse 33. And here's your point number one that's in your bulletin today, is that the difficulty in following Jesus, it's not that there's a lack of signs or there's lack of light in seeing him, but it's due to our blindness. Jesus is going to give you the cause of why you have a hard time seeing the kingdom, what it's all about. It's because we're blind. Let's kind of look at that because that'll help you understand whether you're dealing with issues in your own life. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know fully if you are Christian yet. Helps you going to shed some light on that. Or you have friends in your family that you could talk to about why don't they see these things. Here, now we know where to start. Let's go back to verse 33 again. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand so that those who may enter may see the light. You don't hide the light in your basement. You don't hide the light underneath a big basket back then that they used for picking produce out in the yard. This is, you put it on a stand, and back in those days, the lights would go on a higher platform so that it could shine light throughout the house. That's what it's used for, right? Well, last week, right after Jesus' announcement that this evil generation that had been following the Pharisees, those who were being religious, will receive no more sign other than Jonah, he makes this announcement on the purpose of light. This is the follow-up sentence, okay? So you need to keep that in mind. No more signs, sentence about light. What is he trying to get at here? And if you were to remember, we left last week by pulling that material together in a way to suggest that there will be those that can see the sign of Jonah and those that can't. And we differentiated between those two sides as those that believe in a God, remember that, and those that believe God. Those that just believe God understand the sign of Jonah. It's Jesus' life, death, and resurrection on the cross. That's what he's talking about. And those who just believe in a God have a hard time seeing that. Those that see the sign of Jonah and are convinced of Jesus, they repent and they follow him. Because when you see the Lord, you can't not stop but admit who he is and follow him. That's irresistible grace. Then there are those that lack faith. They are blind and they can't believe in him. This statement about the nature of light is in conjunction with those that can't see the sign of Jonah. The reasons the signs of Jesus have not been understood at this point in our story in Luke is not because of a lack of light. They have been perfectly clear and they've been lit up. The whole topic of sight actually started a few sermons back when Jesus was accused of working for the devil. Do you remember that story? Beelzebul, the lord of the flies, or the lord of dung. That's what they're accusing him of. He had just cast out a devil out of a mute person, which showed back in those days the severity of the possession. And there were a group of people, after those accused him of working for the devil, there was another group that said this in verse 16, while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a what? A sign from heaven, to which Jesus responded a few verses later in verse 29, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign. Again, now this brings us to our statement in verse 33. No one sets out a light without the purpose of using it, Jesus is saying. That's just dumb. Remember, he confronts their philosophy all the time. He goes, what are you thinking? That doesn't make sense. Because here's the truth. Jesus is now talking about himself. I am the light. You don't see because you don't recognize what's in front of you. Which, when you put it all together, means this. The problem is not that you didn't get a sign or signs from me. The problem is that you are blind to them. You can't see them. The light is shining right before your eyes. The Lord wouldn't send me and hide me away. He's put me here for display, but you're missing it. Can you see me? Right? So Jesus, listen to this, has been working in ministry for this point, public ministry. That means coming out as, this is who I am, this is what I'm going to do, for almost 3 years. Now let's just look at the track record of healings alone. Just not look at all the demonic work he's done and casting out demons, or the signs like of feeding people and blessing in great numbers. Let's just look at the healings. Leprosy has been conquered. The lame have walked. The blind have been restored. Bleedings have stopped. So there's probably been cancer has been healed. The mute can talk. And it's all been done in record numbers. When you read in the New Testament, when Jesus goes in a town, it's not just, hey, my boy has a headache, they show up. It is people come out of the woodwork. And when they come from towns around, thousands of them. Let's just put this in perspective. In the north, where he's been working in Galilee, Capernaum, Nazareth, all these areas, Jesus has been there a while. Thousands of people have come to him. In this square mile radius of this area, Jesus would have most likely have almost eradicated sickness. There has never in the Old Testament or since then been a person that has ever done this by touching and by word. Has there not been enough signs? See, you and I always, like, you wonder what is going on. It's not that there weren't enough signs. It's just that they were what? They were blind. They kept asking for a bigger sign. Blind people. The issue is not a sign, but the issue is that they are blind. Jesus explains it, gives comment about this beginning on in his early in his ministry in John 3. Listen to these words here. And this is the judgment, Jesus is saying. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. People just don't want it. The problem is that the Pharisees here, those he's mainly speaking to in front of the people that they're teaching, they are consumed with jealousy. This man has stolen their attention, their power for 3 years now. They are overridden with impulses of violence and hatred. They fear losing their position in culture. They fear losing the good seats in the synagogue, the best seats in the house, the presence of honor in the towns, the fear of losing a whole way of life. And because of fear, they are now talking about this part in the story. They're actively talking about how do we murder him. Religious, conservative people want him dead. How does that even make sense? They're blind. They chose not to come to the light because they wanted to go through their act of assassination. And that's where they're at right now. So maybe, how do we tie this in, Jody, to what we're going through? Well, maybe in your life right now. Maybe you're in a dangerous place and you don't know it. You know, sin, even though you're blind to it, because you're blind to it, you don't always see it coming. You don't always make those really bad decisions in your life until it's right there, right in front of you. And usually, it's because in our blindness, it's been building up for a long time. You've been trying to follow God for a while, possibly. You've been playing at this church thing for a while, but you're still having a problem just believing God. Perhaps it's not because the sign of Jonah is, maybe it's not blatant enough, but perhaps there is sin in your heart that you're just not done with, and it makes you repulsed at the idea of light because you don't want to give up certain things. Now, I could go on and list all the things this is I thought about today about my own life. There could be 100 things, but let me give you three kind of headings to think about today. Possibly think about yourself this morning. Maybe there's some of you in here that need to forgive other people, but you can't let it go because it means no more power over that person. Some of you are in relationships with people and friends that if you were to forgive them and to let things go, that means you can no longer in your own heart without ever having to say anything to right to be angry at them, could you? See, when we don't forgive people, you always reserve the right to be angry at somebody because they just keep doing it over and over again. Some of you have spouses in here right now that you're sitting next to that you said, yep, that's it. You won't let it go because if you remove that, you give up the ability to be mad at them anymore. Are you blind to it this morning? Has someone spoken to you about it? Has the Lord been trying to confront you with these things lately? Maybe there's lust in your heart and you won't address it because it would mean changing up your routines. Stop watching that show you've gotten used to watching. Stop using the internet time quietly when you know other people aren't knowing. And lust could be many things. Is that you this morning? Is it building up? Is it a blind spot? You just don't want to take it to the light? Are you lustful for something in your heart this morning? Very closely related to that, what about greed? Greed that controls where you spend time and money, but you like the way your life is. Greed controls your habits. Your habits controls your personal time. Your personal time is taken away from your family because you like to hold things and keep things how you like them. Is there something you're buying too much? Is there something you're spending too much time with? Is there something you're idolizing and you don't want to give those things up for your church family or for your family at home? Is greed got a blind spot in your heart today somewhere? For us all, we all fall short because we think our sin, here's why, delivers us that which makes a difference in a bleak existence. Happiness. That's why we do it. We want happiness now. But the gospel tells another story in John 8. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. The contrast is that a life in the dark is really spiritually dead life. That's the reality. A life that can only be excited by the things of flesh, that is boring. Flesh will wear out over time, guys. You will age and it will no longer have its fun. But Jesus offers a life lit by his glory to be spiritually alive, a life where you don't need the things of the flesh. If you haven't been affected by the life of Jesus yet, let me tell you this. As a follower of Jesus and as a follower of the dark for many years, when you do find him, he will drive your desires away. I didn't grow up a good little boy in a nice little home. I was in the dark for many years. I'm very sorry about what I've done in my life, but at the same time, I'm very thankful because I know how very bright Jesus is. Now, some of you have not had that same past I've had, and I would encourage you. Sin is sin, and blindness is blindness. But when you find them, you'll know it, and it'll keep you on the path. This brings us to our second thing this morning in the text. This is very important. And Bill, I misguided Bill on this one because sometimes at Saturday night I change points so Bill didn't get my memo to changing this point. So it's wrong in your bulletin, but it's not his fault. It's my bad, okay? So number two on the screen says one thing. It should be this. Don't be quick to trust your enlightenment, but test it against the true light. That's what I wanted to say. Bill has something else, okay? So let me say it again in case you want to change it. Ready? Don't be quick to trust your enlightenment, how you see the world, how you think it works. I got it understood now. I have figured this out. Please don't do that. I do that sometimes and I have to slap myself. Don't do that. But test it against the true light. Test it against the true light. Verse 34, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's bad, your body's full of darkness. Make sense? Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. Let's explain it this way. The eye is not the generator of light, right? Y'all know that science, basic physical science, that much. But it is the point through which all of light passes through to your body. Matter of fact, it's the only two spots in your body that light can get in. Your eye is an amazing tool. This past week, I had to go visit the eye doctor. Just happens, right? I had to go see the eye doctor. And of course, my doctor's pretty good about telling me things that I already know. Y'all have a doctor like that? Like, how many times are you going to tell me the same thing? I come here every year, you tell me the same thing. And it's like, Jody, yeah, you have damage in your left eye. Well, I wonder if that's why I can't see out of it, doc. I don't know, right? No, I didn't say that to him. I would not do that. But we talked about that for a little bit, and he knows my condition, and I have what some of you know is glaucoma. Glaucoma is the hardening of the eye. And over time, it's not that your eye gets like a marble and falls out, but the back of your eye where the nerve is that receives the light, it gets damaged from this hardening, right? And in that, over a while, and I never even knew I had this. Here's the funny thing. You know, they say you start checking, like you should check, like I always went for an eye appointment, right? As a kid growing up till I hit about 40. Well, you know when they say they start checking for glaucoma? After 40. So I didn't go to the eye doctor for like just 2 years. And then one day I was kind of rubbing my eye. It was wintertime. I was rubbing my eye and I was like, that's funny. You see blurry and you rub your eye and it's still blurry. And you're going, oh, that's wrong. Right? But you know why you don't notice it? Because you always look reading with two eyes open. So that compensates for what you can't see. But I started doing that and I was like, oh no, something's off, right? And so I couldn't tell that my left eye was going bad, but it wasn't as bright as my right one. So when you look at the optic nerve, this nerve actually looks bigger, but what it means is that the back of my eye is slowly dying. So my vision is getting worse. Now, it's been stabilized, but eventually one day it'll go, and I'll get to wear a cool eye patch. I'm looking forward to that, so that'll be neat. I need to beef up my look in the base. So anyways. But the only way I knew, though, that I was in trouble is thankfully both eyes didn't fail at the same time, right? Because then I would have been out of luck. The Lord blessed me with just one eye going before the other one. And because my right eye was still healthy, I could compare it to the vision in my left eye and see that the light was untainted. It was brighter and in focus so I could still read with it. So I knew something was off between the two eyes. So here's the reality, though. When it comes to our spiritual eyes, that's what sees the world and with knowing like there's something else out there. There's something, I should be looking at the world different. What is your worldview? That which takes that in, right? That Jesus is talking about here. See, we are blind and spiritually dead at birth, all right? Some of you theologians, you agree with me. If you don't agree with me, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But because of that, here's the difference. Here's the problem. There is no way to determine how well you can see because you're blind. You are born, you cannot see the kingdom of God. No one can just explain it. No one can try to tell you what it's like. We can try, but you're not going to believe it until you can see it. You're blind. There's nothing to compare it to. You didn't have one good eye, so you can kind of see when one of them was going blind. You don't even know you need help. Your world, even though filled with physical activities before that, is a dead one. That is, a physical life has no connection to the kingdom and what comes after this world. When you're born blind and dead, all your life, all the things you do will never connect you with the kingdom. Has no impact there. And this is what Jesus found when he showed up on the scene. This was the issue. I'm going to go back to Luke 6. You remember when he said this, when he kind of first started countering the Pharisees, like, there is an issue we have here. Jesus points it out. He says, verse 39 of chapter 6, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. He'll just be as blind as that guy. He found that blind trying to teach the blind, spiritually dead. And this is why Jesus had to come. And John 1 gives us the great gospel. We even sang about it a little bit this morning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And it was God himself. In chapter and verse 4, and in him was life. And this life was the light of men. The living Word. The Word that produces life, the true light, which is now available to all. Jesus is the living Word of God. You're told in Hebrews, he spoke once to the prophets, second through Christ, and that was it. Jesus is the embodiment of what God wants you to know about the world that you could not see when you were born. Jesus is the light. Are you picking up on this now? He was put on a lampstand so everybody can see him, but only people who see him as through the sign of Jonah can believe in him. And now, the way that you and I know about Jesus, even you say, well, it's through your preaching. Yeah, but it all comes through one source, which is what? The Bible. Psalms 119, 105 says it like this, and your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It is what reveals God's will to us. Now, at this point, you may be, Pastor Jody, okay, I got you. It's one of these sermons. Read the Bible and it'll all be okay, right? We'll be lit up. It's fine. Yes, but if you are blind or recovering from blindness or getting better, it helps a lot to have other people around you whose spiritual eyes are improving every day itself. Listen to me now. Don't get lost. Because it's hard to compare. It is hard to judge your opinion with what the Bible says without another Christian's view. God has provided us multiple sets of eyes around here to look at God's word that have different points of view that in a church we agree doctrinally. When you become a member here, as we wrap up a membership class today, we're saying these are the doctrinal values that we have and hold to. Then to add it to it, since we all know how to read, y'all should be like picking out some favorite theologian, Reformed theologian every year, or some past saint from the past who has lived life, who has encountered God, who knows how to live this life. And they saw the truths of God played out and they did it. Take them. That's past Christians too. It's recorded history for us. Remember, family, if you're trying to decipher the world on your own without God's word, then you've probably allowed other blind people to lead you. Look, so here's the warning right here. If you're telling me this morning that maybe you didn't have time to read your Bible this week, I'm okay with that. Well, maybe, Pastor, I didn't have time to read my Bible this month. Okay, well, maybe this year's been rough. Okay, hold on a second. Then what you're saying is you're allowing blind people to lead you. That's just silly. That's just being silly. Stop it right now. And if you don't know, we'll read with you. I will hook you up with someone who will help you find it. If you are going to go to the Word, then good for you. But also, without help from others, your recovery is a lot slower because you have nothing to compare your findings with. Think about that, too. Yes, Scripture alone, authority. But if you're reading it thinking you know all about this and you got the answers, then you're off as well. You'll get there, but it's going to be a lot slower. But when you add God's Word with the input from other in this church family and those past theologians that have gone on before us, then you're on your way to recovery. Remember, not to be too quick to trust your own sense of enlightenment, but test it against God's word. What you think is real, go find out from God's word first. And that says, along with the wisdom of other Christians that have a track record of understanding it and obeying it. Brings us to our last point, which we can celebrate together this morning. We need this. Is number three is that the true light will work towards saving us completely. Someone say amen. Not partly. That's the glory of the gospel. It's not going to stop until you fall dead. Even then, it keeps changing us through history. It's never going to stop. Verse 36, Jesus says, then, if then your whole body is full of light, the light's driven in, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Your spiritual body will become like Christ, is what he's saying, like mine. The light of Jesus is something truly wonderful to behold. This light, once upon entering your spiritual nervous system, doesn't just stay in the brain, but it affects everything. It doesn't stop in your mind for you to decipher what's good, what you like, and what you want to keep. Here's the cool thing. When you know you start getting the gospel will eat on the things that you're trying to hide. It won't let you sleep at night comfortable with the sin you're hiding from a spouse. It won't let you eat and feel good about what you're eating without sharing with others what you are learning about God. It doesn't just sit in the brain for you to contemplate. It goes down deep. That's how you know that it's Jesus revealing light to you now. It's the work of the Spirit through God's word in your heart, in biblical community, and through your friendships that begins to pour out of you. No, its effects of your heart. The light of Christ births faith and affections, and it is the heart that produces the actions of your life. Jesus said in Matthew 15:18, what comes out of your mouth comes from the heart, and it either condemns you or it justifies you, who you are. The heart lit up by the light of Christ is a resurrected heart, which then produces actions that have internal implications now. It's no longer life wasted, it's life applied. So when influenced by this light, one stops trying to figure out how to be evangelistic because it just happens. The light is changing us at a holistic level. Those that were once silent about their conditions are now sharing it with others. We've been going through this next verse in our membership class talking about the really cool aspect that we're all part of this royal priesthood. But I haven't hit the second part of the verse yet. Read it with me this morning. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Amen. I'll take that, right? But look at the glory of what the light's going to do. To proclaim the virtues of him who called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. This is what you get for it. We as a people who were not once a people, we have been made into the people. That's a cool title. Jesus has called us out of darkness, making us all proclaimers according to that verse, because it has changed our affections for him, of who he is and what he has done. If the world looks bleak to you right now, after what we've just proclaimed to you, if you're down about where your life has you at this moment, it is because, ladies and gentlemen, it's just a simple fact, you're not looking at him. Let me say that again. If your world is so bleak that every time you open your mouth, it's about what is bothering you or what is not working, right? It's because you have your eyes off of Christ and your identity is not anchored in him. I'm not saying you have a bad week or a bad day, but a bad month, a bad year, something is not lit. Your fear of the future, what you may lose, what you may not obtain through your efforts, has you walking in the dark right now. Listen to me this morning. The world uses fear. And when I say world, I mean the spiritual powers that control the things of this world. It uses fear to get you hypnotized, to train you to react to what you see as a danger. The world uses fear to say you might lose this unless you act right now impulsively to keep what you like hidden or to keep it safe. But the gospel is that God uses that same fear and wakes you up to it and drives you to prayer. And in that, you begin to see the revelation of Christ and fear is lit up. And when that happens, according to his word, only light remains. That is why, if we've been truly affected by the marvelous light of Jesus, then the only option left is to declare it to a world out of joy. So I want to leave us, though, with this morning also with a warning. And I know I've been speaking a lot of metaphors this morning, haven't I? That's what light and darkness is. It's a metaphor. So I hope you appreciated that. But if we continue to reject the light, I do want to leave you with this warning. There is a point where the offer is removed off the table. There is that point. According to Revelation 3, when Jesus is commenting on the church of Laodicea, and some of you know this story, out of all the churches of the seven letters in the book of Revelation, Laodicea was a church, but they were lukewarm. Do you remember that? And Jesus is talking to them, because you are neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out. You are existing as a church that goes to church, and you go to your Sunday school, and you hang out, and you do dinners together. But what? How are you affecting the world? How are you proclaiming what I've done for you? You are lukewarm. This is done. But because of that, because they become spiritually blind, Jesus gives them counsel. Listen to the counsel now that he gives that church. Listen to his counsel. This is from verses 17 through 18 of Revelation 3. For you say, and he's saying to the church, he said, you say this, I'm rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. Kind of sounding like Pharisees, because I've lived this way, I get all this. Not realizing that you're wretched, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked, or naked, as we say in the South. Jesus says, I counsel. What is it? Look, I'm still giving grace to you. I'm counseling you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself. That is, take the offering of salvation that I've done everything for you. That's how you get your white garment. I did this work. Just take it. Turn your eyes on me. And the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and the salve to anoint your eyes so that you may what? Here's bottom line, guys. It doesn't matter how long you're a Christian. It doesn't matter how long you'll be here at Highlands. If you don't turn to the sign of Jonah every week, you're going to miss him. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God day by day, hour by hour. We need to keep turning to him constantly. That is the light for us. So this morning, is there something in your life that keeps you from not confessing your need of him right now? Is your life too cush? Be careful. Is your life just the way you want it? It could be, even if you don't have a lot of money. What are you hiding that you don't want the light to see? How have you set your life up to be just the way you want it? Oftentimes, that's because Jesus is not in control of it. Is it fear of not being able to live as you want? Or is it that you have become accustomed to trusting how your eyes light up the world instead of how God's word redefines it? His offer today is a loving discipline, as we saw in the text, to apply the light of truth to your heart so that he may heal you completely, giving you what you really need. A complete and full understanding of the Savior and his love for you. So this morning, as we close, hear my words. I want us to pray together now. And I want to ask him, and I want you to ask him, to illuminate where we have been deceiving ourselves. Let's ask him to open up the dark spots in the corners of the room for us, in our hearts, and ask him to shine a light on it. Let's ask him to light up all of our souls to drive the remnants of that dark away. And then let's practice believing him today that his light can, let's believe God, and will save us completely. Amen? Let's go to prayer. Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus for my family out here, for my heart today, for my people today. There are things right now in their mind's eye that they see that they've been hiding. Lord, we're great about talking where we get mad, but we're not great about talking about why we're mad, which is the bitterness we hold on to, the unforgiveness that we keep in our hearts, the anger that we keep lit because we think that drives us, the impulse to do better in our work because we think that gives us success. Father, forgive us, dear Lord, and in the people's hearts right now, as you show them what is this thing that they've been hiding in the dark. Holy Spirit, please come and be gracious. Lord Jesus, we receive your counsel. please administer that salve for our eyes and help us to see you. Before we go to communion, Father, here's the thing is we can't treat that light. We can't go to communion with that on our heart. If we're not willing to let it go, we can't go to you with this. It has to be dealt with now. In the name of Christ, open the blind eyes. Let them see what they've been holding off. Let them repent of their sin. Father, in my heart, in my life, I've seen my lack of drive to be the good father that I should be. I repent that to you. Father, give me what I need this week to live for you. Give my people what they need to live for you this week. Drive the darkness out of us. And help us to live for you. My friend, you may be out there today and go, what was that just happened? That's the Holy Spirit that comforts his people. He's the great comforter and counselor. And for you, he's here as well. If you don't know Jesus in this way, ask him to open up your eyes to who he is and what he's done. For it's out of love that he has saved us and he can save you. And pray to him and ask him to do it. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to help you follow him. And spend time with this body and discover what this thing is all about, living life with him. Lord God, we thank you for your good blessings today for your people. And will you please help us this week to proclaim your goodness to all those we encounter. For we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So as we go